We have a holiday recipe book called Punch, The Delights and Dangers of the Flowing Bowl. But this bowl is not flowing with lime sherbet and ginger ale. This is more like Mr. Micawber's Punch from Charles Dickens' David Copperfield, a hot and steaming bowl of lemon, sugar, and spirits that made Micawber's face shine as if it had been varnished all over. Punch was invented for British sailors, says drink historian David Wondrich. Sailors were entitled to 10 pints of beer a day, but when they sailed into the tropics, the beer spoiled. They turned to punch.
They made it with local ingredients in India and Indonesia in the early 1600s. They were 13,000 miles away from any source of English beer or wine, and they had nothing to drink, and English sailors respond very poorly to that.
We met David Wondrich at Death & Company, a New York bar, which looks like an updated speakeasy, and actually serves punch. Wondrich arrived with bottles of booze and a bag of lemons and mixed up 2 kinds of punch from his book. The first was the oldest one he writes about, Meriton Latrun's Bantam Punch, made with an evil-looking black liquor called arak from Indonesia, distilled from the sap of palm trees. He stirred it up, and we tried it.
This is, a flavor that is not tasted very often over the last 300 years, so. Well, cheers.
Cheers. There's a faint whiff of tires in
there.
Yeah,
that's the arak. It's got a little bit of rubberiness to it, but it's also got a kind of a great fragrance to it. This is a pretty challenging punch, too, because it's very old school, but it's also in the modern culinary world, these are the kind of flavors that people are starting to resurrect.
Now, in some of the recipes, you talk about the clarity of the punch, that it's a clear and delicate flavor.
Mm-hmm.
This is a cloudy, mean-looking drink.
It looks like soy sauce. But let's make the Charles Dickens punch, and you'll see the range here.
Now, tell me, where exactly did you get this one, this recipe?
I got this from a recipe that Charles Dickens wrote to the sister of a friend, because Charles Dickens always made punch for friends. Whenever he entertained, it was part of his ritual. By his day, by the middle of the 19th century, punch had gotten kind of old-fashioned. But at the same time, that's what made it appeal to him, because, as we know, you read Charles Dickens' books, and he was a great antiquarian. He liked to collect all the old customs and all the habits of old England. When he entertained, he would put together a bowl of punch and talk about all the steps. Like right now, I'm peeling lemons into the bowl.
I admire the way you're peeling them, because you're not getting very much of the white pith at all. You're doing a very nice job.
A considerable amount of my time peeling lemons, it turns out. And this is one of the secrets of punch making, especially the more delicate punches. You muddle the lemon peel, just the outer peel, with sugar and let it sit for an hour or two. And over time, the sugar will extract the lemon oil. And that flavors the punch and kind of carries through your whole mixture and gives it this bright, lemony sort of deliciousness. And if you would hand me those bottles, please, Linda.
Okay, here we have
cognac of the same brand that Dickens had in his cellar.
And plantation rum.
And plantation Jamaican rum, which is also quite fragrant and delicious. Pour these in here. Does anybody have a match?
There you go.
There we go.
So the blue flame sort of snaking over the surface of the punch. That's very pretty.
And it dances a little. Now, he would have used a very strong rum, but we used a nice old one that's quite tasty. Punch should not be the strength of a cocktail. It's got to be something considerably less dangerous. Because, again, the whole point, it's a social drink. You're supposed to drink it with your friends and not just have one or two quick snorts. You're supposed to keep going back to the bowl, and every time you go back to the bowl, somebody else is there, and you'll talk to them. And it all ends up being very jolly and pleasant. And one of the professional hazards of the drink historian is nostalgia, which I try to avoid. I know life was tough then, and there were a lot of unpleasant things, but there were some compensations, and I think the whole punch ritual is one of them. Now, Dickens says to let it sit for a while to steam, but I think we could probably just drink it, if you wish. Also important, the ritual tasting of the punch. Oh, I forgot the nutmeg. There are other spices. Sometimes it's cloves, sometimes it's mace, you know, which is also part of the nutmeg tree. There you go.
Oh, that's a delicious drink, especially for a night that's as frozen as this one.
I know. This kind of warms your cockles, doesn't it?
I'd say.
Whatever they are, exactly.
I think this is really delicious. The other one was mysterious.
Yeah, no, this one's not mysterious at all. It's just good. This is classic punch. The other one is the little reptile brain of punch. You know, it's very beginnings, and then this is
proto punch.
This is punch from its golden age, and it's a classic 18th century brandy rum punch.
If you were to be a punch drinker in 2011, what would you do? Would you have a big dinner and drink wine with your dinner, and then after dinner,
you could bring out the punch.
Or
you could, in lieu of a cocktail party, have a punch party. You don't have to make individual drinks for everybody. Everybody gets to share something, and it makes for a lovely party. And then you have a buffet and whatever.
And then more punch.
Oh, more punch, of course.
David Wandrich's book is called Punch, The Delights and Dangers of the Flowing Bowl. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda.
These two recipes are at npr.org, plus a simple sort of introductory punch, highly recommended by Mr. Wandrich. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Renee Montagne.